This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, Jet fans? It's Keyshawn Johnson, and this is your home for New York Jets football. This is 98.7 ESPN.
WEPN-FM, New York.
Great Scott.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
this is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give them the number. People are coming at me already, so they need the number to call me.
1-800-919-3776. And if you're coming at him, you're coming at me, punks.
Now, if they can't get through because the lines are jammed like they always are, how else can you get us?
Harass Alan on Twitter at Barton Hine, and I won't respond because I can't. But then, if you can't get him on that, you can DM him, backstab, Mabel, and
no,
inside your lip. Go ahead and DM that to Alan at Instagram.
Inside the lip.
And then Bill, yeah, that's the thing now. Sometimes they put the reverse message in their lip. I don't know. It looks stupid. I don't know. Like, dumb.
Noticing that.
So, if you can't get us there, Bill, tell them where the hell they can get us.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever.
No, Bill, you didn't say it the way I like you to say it. Bill, tell them again where they can
snap
get it.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Damn it, Bill. Don't make me come over there and smack the taste out of your mouth. Tell them again and say it with your chest.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
All right, damn it. That's the best he can do.
I don't even know where this is going today. And you know what? That's fitting. Because I honestly don't know really where to go here. As the NBA now is really taking over at this point. As far as the headlines and the possibilities and all the different things now. With the trade season open. The draft is tomorrow. And I do think tomorrow will be a very active day. A little more active than maybe today will be. Late last night you had a couple of things that did finally emerge in some movement. The Bucks making some moves to try to keep Giannis happy. I don't know if these are moves. Giannis apparently is pretty happy about these kind of moves. Drew Holiday is acquired from the Pelicans. Bogdanovich is acquired from the Kings. And so it's basically a new backcourt. You move Chris Middleton, I would say, probably to the three. And you have another guy in Bogdanovich who can shoot the basketball. He's a good shooter. He's a really good player,
So he's going to
Holiday is probably a better longer version of Bledsoe because he's a better three-point shooter. And when he's healthy, which is sometimes for him, you know, can be a problem. But when he's healthy, you know, he's become a really nice player. And I'm saying nice because I don't get it. Like, I don't think this. Like, Bart, when I tell you Drew Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovich now are on the Bucks, and with Chris Middleton and Giannis,
I'm scared.
My reaction to this is
I want
to
CP3.
Okay.
Why couldn't we get CP3? Why can't I get CP3?
Now, the Chris Paul trade happened yesterday after we went off the air, but we were kind of aware of the fact that the Phoenix Suns were a possibility, even though I tell you. I was waiting to see them pull the trigger because I didn't think Robert Sarver would do it.
You know what I hate?
What?
I hate that whenever we have these surprising moves, it's always teams like the Phoenix Suns that come out of nowhere. It's other teams that come out of nowhere. When the hell are we going to come out of nowhere? Okay, Brooklyn could potentially be coming out of nowhere.
Well, we'll get to that, yeah.
But the other ones, like, why don't the Knicks, why can't we ever come out of nowhere?
Because they're not in that place.
Like that?
They're not in that place.
When are they going to be in that place? They ain't been in that place. I've been here for 10 years, and they ain't been in that place.
They're not in that place, and I'll explain why. But first of all, Chris Paul wasn't coming east. I tried to tell everybody that. So the Bucks didn't even bother because they just knew. You know, we're not going to put too much energy into this if we know he doesn't want to come here.
It's middle America.
But I honestly don't know what about those deals that the Bucks did makes you go, oh, man, the Bucks are now absolutely going to win a championship. You make moves like that, because you feel like you don't win a championship. And so it's like the James Harden rumor to the Nets. If you're the Nets, you do it. You do it because this gives you the best chance to win a championship in a small window.
Tell
you have three superstars.
But tell me why it's not deja vu. Tell me why this isn't Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce.
And Jimmy.
I know.
Okay.
We like this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you all them haters out there that I can't respond to on Twitter.
I'm trying to tell you why this isn't Paul Pierce.
I'm trying to tell you to explain to the people that's going to hate like that, because that's what the haters going to say.
Because KG and Paul Pierce were pretty much at the end of the rope when they acquired them. There wasn't much left in the tank. Whereas you're getting Durant and Harden at early 30s, still very much the top players in the game. I mean, you basically would be, because again, Kyrie played last year, so you're adding Durant. He didn't play. You add Durant and you add Harden if you can trade for him, and you have two of the top 3 to 5 players in the game, depending on how you want to power rank it.
Yeah, but
you have two of the top five. Let's just say five. Two of the top five players on your team, and the only other team that can say that would be the Lakers.
So tell me how this works. Tell me that they still have depth. Tell me that they're going to be able to attract some younger players or some players that are come and play for nothing for the right to win a championship. Tell me those players that's going to come.
You're not
over.
Getting young players.
Hey, what I'm saying
you
is
you want young players to do that.
Right. But who do we see just opt out all the way out there in L.A.? Caldwell Pope. Who do we see opt out? Rondo. Tell me that you can go get some veteran guys that'll come play for nothing so they can have the right
Rondo's
to win a championship.
Go to the Clippers, to be honest with you. I think he's staying in L.A.
But you're looking at
you want to now see how you can add a couple of pieces if you're going to need to, especially because if you're the Nets, you got to give a ton up. Now, that's the Nets' point of view. You 100% do it, and I don't care what you're saying. Anybody out there that is saying this is a terrible trade for the Nets if they do it, it's not going to work, it's not going to fit, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
It's three guys who have been working out all summer together who get along. Kevin Durant and James Harden get along.
You're talking
about three guys that will figure it out because they're that good. You're getting two of the best players in the game today. It makes sense. You do it. They're not past their prime. They're not old as hell. They're right there in their prime. KD coming off an injury, but it's been over a year. It's been almost 2 years. He's fine, everybody. I've heard they've been working out in L.A. for months. Everybody says you look at him and you couldn't even tell that he's had an injury. All right? This, you do it. And anybody who's a Knicks fan, I'm sorry, guys. It's hard for me to say it, too. But you know this. If this was the Knicks, you would do it. 100%. Because if I can get a ring, I'm getting a ring. And look at the East. I don't care what the Bucks just did. So that doesn't do anything. That doesn't
chicken.
Do anything compared to the Nets. I'm sorry.
No, are they getting rid of Jerry Allen?
Well, let's flip it. If you're the Rockets, all right, because we'll take one side at a time. If you're the Rockets, why the hell would you do this trade? Why would you do it?
Well,
to make them happy? There's nothing you want off that roster except for Jared Allen. Spencer Dinwiddie's a nice player. He's a nice player. But in the West, you put Dinwiddie, you put LeVert, and you put Jared Allen on the roster. And now, you know, let's say Russ is going to get traded, or he'll be real miserable, right? You have Russ gets traded, and Harden gets traded, and that roster. And with Eric Gordon, you're telling me that team makes the playoff in the West? Are you out of your mind? No chance.
That team can get the eighth seed. I think that team is still better than the Pelicans, who are right there. And I think that
Phoenix,
team can compete.
Phoenix
showed you in the bubble,
but they're a future team. Minnesota has got something to say about things as well.
Yeah, I don't worry about Minnesota, and I worry about the Grizzlies. I think they can maybe compete with the Grizzlies for that spot. Because I like Aaron Gordon, Dinwiddie, LeVert. Let's see if they can live up to expectations.
I don't know, man.
Listen, what I'm saying is we know that team has been paying the luxury tax for a couple of years, you know, putting a lot of cheese on two tacos. So now, you know, you got unhappy Tucker. Maybe you can get something back from him because, you know, he's a guy that's a little older, but he is still a dog. He's a supersized version of Patrick Beverley. He gets in there and he has so much versatility defensively that he can be a guy that, hey, if I'm on the Nets, I'm saying, okay, I need Tucker and I'll give you Jerry Allen. So I'll throw Jerry Allen, Dinwiddie,
and I'll throw LeVert too.
And I'll throw LeVert in there, and guess what? You know what I love? You know, remember Mice and Men?
Mm-hmm.
And remember he said, hey, Lenny, we gonna contend to them rabbits? And he took him to the lake and he said, look how tender them rabbits. Bah! Shot him right in the head. Guess who we get to shoot in the head? Am I my brother's keeper? I'm on the run, G. It can never go back to the way it was. Guess who we get to shoot? We get to shoot DeAndre Jordan right in the head.
No.
Yes, I want to shoot DeAndre. I want to shoot DeAndre Jordan in the head.
They want to keep
him.
He's
not. We don't need him. What do we need him for? No. Only thing we need him for.
What I can't say on the air what they want him for, but he's.
I know. But I'm saying
he's around for other reasons.
I'm saying off of that being able to get that right. I'm saying you use him for my man Embiid. That's the only reason he's there for Embiid. That's the only reason you need him for any other team you don't need him. You see what I'm saying? You feel me?
I get it. But again, from the Rockets' point of view, what is your motivation? Which is why I feel like the Rockets should take their time here, and you shouldn't rush into anything. And if James wants to be miserable, then be miserable. It'll be on you. Fan base already in Houston's probably right now losing it.
But that's a lot to deal with, man. You got a new coach that can't handle a personality, and you're going to give him a disgruntled superstar that's rejecting 2 years at $50 million a year? Like, that's a lot to handle. You got to break it down. You got to give this guy his own team, because no matter what,
I don't care. Trading you where you want to go until I get something that helps me in the future. This is Daryl Morey's mess, by the way, that, again, nobody wants to talk about that either. Daryl's the one who made this mess.
Yeah, but
he made this mess, and he left it. And now somebody else has got to deal with it. I mean, that's the problem, that franchise now is in a big mess. It's in a huge mess right now.
I think that's decent compensation just for the fact that you get to reset your luxury tax and you get to figure it out, and you hopefully can acquire as many first-round draft picks, and you got a nice, decent core, and you're trying to hope that you can make LeVert happy. You hope that Dinwiddie can be a superstar or be a good player, right? Because he's going to get a lot of shots and a lot of opportunities, which is basically what he wants. I still love me some Eric Gordon. You know what I mean? I think he's a star. You know what I mean? I think, and now that's more shots for him. He's a guy that can light up the scoreboard. He's a big, strong, physical guy. He seems like he's moved on. He's been healthy for the last couple of years. I know that's what the narrative was when he was in New Orleans, but this is different. He's been healthy for the last couple of years. So I think you can have a nice team, reset it, and try to figure out what's the future, right? Maybe the Rockets is the team that's sitting in the weeds for 2021 free agents to pop out and say, ta-da, let me go grab some of these other guys, right? Let me see if I can entice Giannis if it doesn't work out. You know what I mean? Let me see if I can be the guy that goes for one of these budding stars that's ready for a change of scenery. Because Houston, outside of Houston being in the West, Houston is still also one of the best cities to live in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. I completely get it. An owner is always willing to spend, but they are going through major changes. An inexperienced coach, an inexperienced GM.
Right.
Now they haven't. You know, they have reset big time there from what they were for many years. And now you have to see, and it's hard in the West. It's hard to win in the West. And
right.
If you start taking away talent, they have stripped that team down. They had Clint Capella, who's a talented young big man. They traded him away because they didn't want a big man anymore. They were playing small. They took that risk, and it failed miserably. Now they don't have anything. They don't even have a 21 first-round pick. They have nothing. And they've got a Russell Westbrook player that they are trying to trade who doesn't want to be there. And no one wants the contract. Everybody, I'm telling you, the Knicks would think about it, but that third year at $47 million is the hang-up. That's the one where you're like, I don't know, that's a lot. You'd love to have him in New York. You'd love to have him with the Knicks because of all the intangibles he brings to you. But for that third year, that's the one that makes you go,
I got you.
That's
right. So I know,
heavy.
But you're gonna, but if anybody take it, it may be the Knicks. And so just imagine, you get Harden, you get all those players from Harden, and then what if you can grab one and say, here's Westbrook, I need Knox,
you gotta have more.
Nilkina.
You got to get another quality player.
I want all your picks, right? So I want all your picks that you got. Listen, if you trade Westbrook and you trade Harden,
yeah,
right? You see what I'm saying? So you're going to get Dinwiddie, LeVert, Allen. That's decent, right?
Again, a decent.
What I'm saying, that's decent to kind of reset your salary cap.
They just got two firsts for Robert Covington, which is mind blowing to me.
Right. So now they got two firsts for Robert Covington. Now you get two of the Knicks' first round picks. Give them Westbrook, and you get to take a player from the Knicks. Let's say you take Nealakina. Who cares? Okay, you take Nealakina and you take Knox. Those some decent players. You know what I'm saying? Or you want to make the math match? So you take Spin Cycle for 1 year, right? So now you got Randolph, you got Dinwiddie, you got LeVert, and you got Tucker still there. You got Gordon, and you still and who else am I forgetting for the, from the Nets? And you got Allen. That's not bad for getting rid of those two players, and you reset your clock, and people take the salary. That's not bad, Allen. You come. That's not bad. LeVert. It reminds me of the Nets, a little scrappy team. You got LeVert, Randall, Allen.
You go with Dinwiddie. Gordon. Yeah, no, I got you.
Gordon, Tucker.
I get it. That's not horrible. I get it, but if I'm telling
and then
you, right
you can,
now,
if you can package those guys,
I'm the Rockets. I'm not rushing into this. Now, if I'm the Nets, I'm waiting with bated breath. Whenever you're ready, let's do it. Yeah. Whenever you're ready, because the sooner he comes in, the better. You want to start camp with this guy. You don't want this to be a mid-season kind of trade, because now it's all about the adjustment period and all of those.
Right.
I need him from day one, so we have 72 games with all the rest and everything else we know is going to come into play to get these guys ready for the playoffs and then have them go on a run, because your window is very small with this group. It is. It's about 2 years at best, maybe a third, right. Maybe. But everybody's right. Going to be older by that third year. This is the time. You do it now, but if you're the Rockets, no. Let me make sure that there's nothing better I can do out there, and if there's another deal I can make or something else. That's, to me, what I'm saying here. One side, you do it in a heartbeat. The other side, you got to take your time on this one. If I'm the Rockets, I don't rush. I'll rush to trade Westbrook. I am not rushing if I'm the Rockets to trade Harden.
If you're getting rid of Westbrook, you might as well get rid of Harden, because Harden by itself don't do nothing for you anyway. Harden by itself with who you got gets you the 8th seed with what's area or the 7th seed with what's there, what they got to compete with. Remember, Golden State's back, Clippers, Lakers, Utah, Denver, like they fighting for the 6th seed with just Harden.
Yeah, Phoenix
what's that?
Becomes
it. You
forget
you're,
Dallas.
You're right. I ain't even going. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're in a perpetual will. So if you're going to get rid of Westbrook, you got to get rid of Harden and just start over.
Mm-hmm.
Because if
you're
not,
right.
You're just on that will. You're in mediocrity with a great player that you're spending a crap load of money for. Right. How much money comes off the book if Westbrook and Harden annually a year?
Well,
damn near $70 million.
You are taking back contract, though. You have to understand. You got to match.
I do.
So you're,
I do.
But you're dumping that.
You're dumping Randall.
You're getting rid of the long-term part of it. You want to get short-term contracts back.
Hey, give me Randall. See you later, Randall.
Oof.
You're going to get cut after the spin cycle. You can spend all you want in Houston, baby. Put all them shots up. Jack them up. See you later next year,
buddy. That's a completely different conversation. Now, let me ask you this. Again, 800-919-3776. We'll grab some calls here in a minute. But let me ask you this now, a completely different part of this. Because you come from an NFL where this doesn't happen. Like, you just don't see this happen. You know, Brady did it a little bit in Tampa by getting Gronk come in there, and now they got AB in there, and, you know, they made a couple of moves where, you know,
I've
star players.
But we
saw it happen in Philly. It didn't work. My point is this, is that this has now become the norm. This is now a decade where we've seen this in the NBA, where you're getting the star players who work out together, and then they get, all right, let's join up, let's team up, let's do our own thing, and let's take over a franchise. The Nets were the little engine that could, with up-and-coming players that they developed, and they became that hard-working team. Then they had the cap space, they made some moves, and they got Kyrie and KD, and that team doesn't exist anymore.
Yep.
I mean, that team is long gone now. A whole new coaching staff, which doesn't really have a head coach, because those players don't want that. And they are now this franchise that is ready to go all in with the majority of the cap to 3 superstars in a short term, let's try to win a championship. That's what this is about. They're no longer, let's build through the draft and win a title. It's let's get the superstars, put them on a team, and let's hope this microwaves into a title, which turns into that debate. Everyone says, no, you have to build and develop and through the draft, and that's how you win. And yet, what have we seen for the most part? The teams that win championships do it through free agency. The Warriors got Kevin Durant.
Yes.
The Lakers got LeBron James. The Cavs got him back. The Heat got LeBron. They kept Wade. They got Bosch. Like, the champions you're seeing aren't built as much. The Warriors are one example. But even they had that been supplemented. Yeah. But that's it. Aside from that, it just feels like super teams is still Iggy. The way everybody wants to go.
It was Iggy. Remember? They brought Iggy, who people forget when he was with the Sixers.
How
was
important
a damn
Iguodala
all-star.
Was.
He was a damn all-star every year. So it's like they didn't even do it. They did it organically. So that's what I'm saying. When teams are telling you we're going to build it slowly, we know that they're lying. We just know that they don't have the group of players that are colluding together to come together, because these things don't happen overnight. Players got to say in 1 or 2 years, man, we're going to link up. It don't happen. Like, so you can't, that's why you don't have one every year, right? Because who do we think that Giannis is talking to? Who's Giannis talking to?
Giannis is talking to anybody, because if you're telling me that he was talking to Drew Holiday and
Bogdanovic,
Giannis is probably talking to Bam Adebayo in the Heat.
My point. That's what I'm saying.
That's who he should be talking to.
That's what I'm saying. That's the next super team, right? So they're doing all this for Giannis, and Giannis is smart. He's going to do that 1 year deal. He's not going to take what they're talking about. He's going to say, I want to see how this works out. If this don't work out well, enjoy Drew Holiday. Enjoy your peoples. Guess what? Bam, Jimmy Buckets,
Tyler
Hero,
that whole group.
What's up? Let's bang. Let's bang. And let's go see what. Let's go see next year. Let's go see next year what the Nets got with that smoke. With Bam.
Phrasing.
Yeah.
With Bam. With Giannis.
Like?
That'd be great. That'd be a hell of a matchup.
I'd like somebody to be talking to R.J. Barrett. Can somebody talk to RJ?
Did he really just say
major disappointment?
We got that. We know who talking to him?
Zion.
Yes, Zion's like, bro, we gonna get this together. We gonna run it back. In 3 years, we gonna run it back, baby.
Lost underneath this whole thing now, of course. Like I said, we're talking about the Bucks making moves for Giannis to try to appeal to him and try to get that ability to get to a championship. I don't know if these moves did that.
Damn,
and then you have the Nets trying to get James Harden and adding to it, that would be a big three and a team that you would think would be the easy favorite to come out of the East and play for a championship.
Ooh.
Lost underneath that whole thing are the Knicks, who still remain quiet, who really don't have a lot they can do right now, have a couple of draft picks, and they, in a weird way, have become this little engine that could. They have, in a strange way, become, like roles have reversed in New York now. The
like
Nets are free spending, freewheeling, go for it, you know, just trade everything for stars. And the Knicks have become that stay the course, build, develop, draft. And I'm telling you right now, when you look at one team, you're like, that team's going to be worth watching, whether it's a complete disaster or whether it's going to be spectacular. Meanwhile, the other team is...
See, but this is the thing. One thing the Nets have showed us is that you got to go from garbage to horrible. And then when you go from garbage to horrible, then you can attract a couple pieces. Then you act like you're the little engine that could, and let them build them up. You sell them all off and get whatever you can get.
I've always said this.
That's how it works.
The teams that acquire first round picks are losing teams. The teams that trade first round picks are winning teams.
Yep.
That's just how it goes. Now, whether they stay that way remains to be seen. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. So this is what's part of the discussion today as we wait for more trade rumors to happen. Again, some deals haven't happened yet, but there's heavy rumors about them. The James Harden Brooklyn stuff seems pretty strong. You see Woj is reporting on it. He certainly knows. So when he's reporting it, you certainly believe it. And there's no reason not to believe that James Harden and Kevin Durant are trying to work out something now, which would be a bombshell. I mean, those three together would be that's got to be better than Kidd, Carter, and Kenyon Martin, right? Like those three, clearly. So how far back do you go? I mean, is that a better trio than what the 70s Knicks teams had?
Bro,
when you think of the best teams in New York,
it's a better trio than
either
the Heat.
Team.
It's a better trio than the Heat. How about that? I said
Well, then the Heatles, then Bosch, Wade, and LeBron?
Yes, and yes.
You agree with that? You know, I was thinking, though, Bart, is whenever the hell we do get back in the same studio, that we should do like one of these like show podcast type things where John and Anthony are part of it, so people can hear their voices and their takes. I think they need to be heard.
I mean, I think they have some. Listen, they represent the fans, and you know what I mean. They're hardcore. And they got great opinions. Half the thing I'd be regurgitating be something that they said. I just take credit for it.
And you also have to understand too that Anthony, then people can really hear how completely frozen he is about his Giants.
Yeah.
He has completely abandoned them emotionally.
He got scar tissue, man.
It's bad. It's shameful, it's sad, and it's all those things. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get some calls in here, Bart. Let's see what the people are thinking about what's happening in the NBA, which is the mayhem we expected, trades happening, Chris Paul now in Phoenix, what that does for the Suns. Remember, they went undefeated in the bubble, which excited a lot of people about their potential, and you add now a leader there. How does it change their fortune going forward? And as I told you, as close to L.A. as he could get, that's what he wanted. He didn't want to come east. That's understandable. So the Knicks, you know, had interest in bringing in a guy like that. Didn't happen. So now you move on. Also, Milwaukee probably would have loved to have had him instead of what they did, but they went Drew Holiday and Bogdanovich. Does that move the needle for you? Does Giannis and the Nets become that team now? You're like, oh, well, they're definitely winning a championship. No. I don't think so. I mean, they're just a little bit better. But I don't think it like suddenly turns the table and makes you think, oh, well, there's no way they lose now. I don't see it that way. And if the Nets add James Harden, you have to go all in if you're the Nets. You go all in. You absolutely do it. They would be the team.
Done in 2 years. Yeah,
that's right.
Done in 2 years. You got 2 years. And here's the crazy part. They got 2 years, right, together to win a championship. Yeah. They're going to keep two, and one's going to have to go. Just like Kevin Durant had to leave the Golden State Warriors, because what happens is now everybody's going want too much money. They'll do it for 2 years, win a championship, pad their resume, and then they'll have to lose two, and they got to figure out which two they want to lose.
I got to retweet. Like, I'm getting a bunch of tweets and all that stuff like that, right? Like,
you know, I don't want no parts of that.
Yeah, I'll handle it for you this time. I'll take the smoke for you. Like, I'm getting these reactions right here. Wally C. is saying the Nets will be a dumpster fire, and if they add Harden, it will be an amazing implosion. Are you sure about that?
First of all, two of the guys don't play with each other, and they're friends. What are you talking about? So putting three of the best players together. But this is what I don't understand. Why when you say, oh, Wade, Bosh, and LeBron, that was fine. Why when you say Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, who were all fiery personalities, oh, nobody says anything about that.
It's a narrative, man. It is. I think you're looking at, basically, it's three guys that you could say are a bit flaky, and you're wondering how you could bring them all together and make it work. But I'm telling you, if they want to, if the players want it, these guys are alphas. They're that good. If they want to, they can.
The talent's undeniable, Alan. Like,
absolutely
on,
true. Look, you could say you're a Knicks guy, and you're right. Like, I do Knicks games. Like, the Knicks have been, you know, in my blood for years, for decades. So you know, it's not easy for me to say this, but I'm also a basketball guy, and I'm looking at it and marveling at it like, whoa, this could be something special. And like Sid is saying, or Syed, I should say, is saying, chill with this young fans going to lame-ass, fake-ass team. This city loves the Knicks. The parents of these youngins are Knicks fans. They will raise their youngins to be Knicks fans just like me. Nets will be 1% fan base in this town. Just relax.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
You put those three dudes on a court and they start tearing up the league.
Right.
People will watch. People will be drawn to them. And fans that are young that never really took the Knicks as their team because the Knicks have been bad for so long will say, kind of like this crew, I'm going with this team.
You know how many damn beards they're going to be selling in the stands? You know how many long beards we're going to see? We know how many people we're going to see dressed up. How many people we're going to see dressed up as Uncle Drew? Like, stop it, man.
These
people are Kyrie fans. They love their shoes. You're talking about two of the guys that got the tightest shoes in the game. We ain't talking about them weak-ass Under Armors that Curry got, and they still sell them ones. And
Harden's Adidas is pretty nice, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Penn State Thor said, kids like winners. Half of the kids this generation in New York are Lakers or Warriors fans.
Exactly.
You are
correct. And why is that? And why are all our parents either Dallas Cowboy fans or Steelers fans? They grew up in the damn 70s. That was the year when they were dominating. Don't front. Your parents were sellouts, too. You just didn't know it.
It's absolutely reality, guys. It's absolutely reality. Let's grab some calls. Let's go with Dave in East Meadow to start us off. Dave, go ahead.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So I'm gonna assume we're going to try to hold on. Absolutely. We're not going to deal Mitch, RJ, the number eight pick. Hopefully not Knox.
No.
But I want to do this Westbrook trade for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's going to make us a more attractive destination. You know, players nowadays don't want to do all the heavy lifting like Jordan did back in the day. They want another guy with them that's going to lay a foundation. So then maybe we get a guy, a Joe Harris, a Gallinari, or if we include Randall, we can go after a Bertans or a Christian Wood.
You need shooters,
and the other reason,
right.
And Alan, I heard you say this the other day, Russell Westbrook has an engine that goes 100 miles an hour.
Right.
He's going to look at Kevin Knox and these other guys and say, I'm 32 years old. How am I beating you down the floor? I think he's going to push everybody, like Victor Oladipo said he did to him when he came to OKC. And Oladipo's another guy. If we don't give up those assets, I would like to make a run at also.
I don't know if you're going to see that move made, but I'll tell you what, the argument for, like, there's for and against, and Dave, the argument against is the third year. The only argument against, and everybody's going to say, well, he can't shoot, he can't do this. Don't tell me what he can't do. I know what he can do. Even at 32, I know what he can do.
He can do it.
So I don't worry about what he can't do. I'll figure that part out with how I build around this player. But the one thing I do worry about, well, the one thing, the reason for against making a trade for Russell Westbrook is the obvious one. The third year at $47 million.
So it's not going to be perfect, Alan.
That's a heavy, heavy contract for a guy who's going to be 35 years old and a lot of his game is athletic. Now, you can say, well, so's LeBron's, and how's he doing? All right, Russell Westbrook is one of the most fit players in the league. You don't expect that he would ever change that way. He's not going to get lazy. He's not going to get heavy and all that stuff. But what Dave just pointed out is the other argument. Is I kind of need somebody in here to set a tone about how hard you have to play. You need killers, and he's a killer. So there's an argument for and arguing against. And I will also say that there's a little bit of me that also is like, if Brooklyn's got something going on there, I'm a little worried about having a season where my main players are like 19 and 20 years old.
Right.
I'm a little concerned about that too, because that's not really the best thing either. So there's a lot of things to consider now when it comes to this. But again, I'm adding to this the caveat of I don't believe the Knicks want to do this because of that third year. So
Alan, no deal is ever perfect. So if you get 2 good years on the front end, set your culture, you attract another star, and you got to eat it for 1 year. It's not like it's a life sentence.
Yeah, that's $47 million out of what's going to be about 100 and what's the cap's going to be in like $115 million?
That's 1 year you got to bite
3 years?
Down. That's 1 year you got to bite down. That's 1 year you got to bite down and say, you know what, I got to pay luxury tax. But guess what? You already make more money than anybody, and you're going to make a hell of a lot of money with him, you know, being in the garden and putting on a damn show, yoking out on people and having upset wins. You know what I mean? You know, he'll mess around, and they'll go against the Nets, and Kyrie's injured, and so's out, and he'll take it personal. He'll put on a damn show, and you beat the Nets, and then you get to be the talk of the town for a day. Like, we already know that.
Yeah, absolutely. John's in Queens. John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call again today. So before anything, I'm just going to start and say, like, basketball-wise, it's almost impossible for that not to work, considering KD's almost 7 feet. You know, so as a Knicks fan, I'm not going to bash that. But I did mention yesterday a lot of what you're saying today, Alan, which is that, you know, Houston doesn't have much incentive to pull that deal. And it looks like they want to get assets back because they moved Covington for draft compensation last night. You know, this year's draft and next year's draft. But I want to make a quick point. So when Chris Paul was on Houston, it looked like he had no value. His contract was considered untradeable. You know, suddenly one season that Russell Westbrook's on Houston playing with James Harden and he's untradeable, like nobody wants the contract. So I feel like if Houston trades James Harden first, you have Russell Westbrook play the season out there because he wants to be the guy, you know. That's what he said he wanted. He wanted to be the guy again. So you let Westbrook play the season out. You know, maybe he can triple-double average again. He can fight for 8th, 9th seed maybe there. And then you can move him and get some assets back, kind of like what you see Sam Presti doing with OKC.
I mean, there's got to be a different way. Again, John, and thanks for the call. I just feel we're looking at it from one side of this thing. But if you're the Rockets, you can't feel like, I have to make this deal. I have to trade. Oh, he's not happy. I got to trade him. Eventually, you're going to have to trade him. But this is not one of those situations where you feel compelled, I better do it right now, because the impulsive moves are the ones you regret the most. That's absolutely true. We have a visual in today's Blitz
of Preview. We got a vision board.
We do. So let's get started. Blitz of Preview.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right. We begin. We'll get to the visual at the end. We're going to save that for the very end. We'll try to get through this quickly, too, because I really need your honest opinion at the end here, and I hope all Islander fans are listening. So DeAndre Baker, that's what a story. That whole thing now has flipped, completely turned around. The armed robbery story took yet another twist yesterday when it was revealed that all charges were dropped against the former Giants cornerback after an extortion plot by lawyers involved in the case was revealed. What a story this thing is. So Baker is 23, was released by the team in September, you remember.
Go get
Therefore, he's now a free agent. He's reportedly drawing interest from many teams, including the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. In an interview exclusive with the New York Post, Baker said he would, quote, love to go back to the Giants. However, they're apparently not interested. So Blitzer Prevent, Baker wasn't exactly great before this incident, but are the Giants right to decide against the reunion with their former first-round pick?
I mean, if they had the conviction to get him and what he was accused of wasn't true, then why wouldn't they want him back? But they've already made that decision, moved on. They went out. They got Bradberry. They went out and, you know, they got Logan Ryan. So now they're saying, well, you know what? We got that money off the books. But I tell you what, you're going to pay me. You're going to pay me, bro. Because guess what? Wrongful termination. Don't say conduct detrimental because the conduct detrimental was false. I was being extorted. I'm the victim. I need my bread back and some pain and suffering. But guess what? It's all good. Keep that energy, bro. The Chiefs want me.
Remember, that was a first-round contract,
I get it.
Too.
Let me tell you something. If the Chiefs want me, the Chiefs have me. And guess what? You better pray to God you ain't never on that schedule, son. Because I know for a fact I'm going to be up by 50, and then I'm just going to take a playoff and knock one of your boys out. How about that?
That's how you think. Now, he publicly has said he has no hard feelings with the Giants and stayed in touch with a lot of players, trying to say all the right things at this point, and he probably should after everything he's been through. So we'll see where he winds up. Cowboys also, by the way. Jerry Jones wouldn't talk about it publicly, but apparently the Cowboys are another team kicking it around. All right, speaking of more on football, so last night's Monday night game, so the Vikings beat the Bears 19-13, yawn, which improved Minnesota's record to 4-5. Now, it's significant to keep an eye on the Vikings because they've now won three straight. And though Dalvin Cook didn't, he had a bit of pedestrian night, would you say, last night against a Bears defense and that was focused on him.
And to Hicks, God, I told you that, though. I told you that. There's no way. I know, you did. I know Chuck Pagano. Chuck Pagano ain't about to let nobody listen. You can beat us through the air. You're not going to beat us doing that.
Can I get a cha-ching about our daily fantasy team last night?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Batting 1,000. You batting 1,000.
Not me. Anthony and John put that together. Give them credit. All right, anyway, so... But Cook's been a beast during this run. So meanwhile, the Bears lost Nick Foles like in the last play of the game with a hip or leg injury. I don't think that's been determined yet, but
it's Trubisky.
Didn't look good. Chicago's now 5-5 after a 5-1 start.
Oh, yeah.
And the Vikings are now breathing down their necks in the NFC North. If Foles is out, their quarterback situation once again a major concern. Why? You mentioned Trubisky. He's still out with the shoulder injury. So Blitzer Prevent. Could we really see the Vikings go from 1-5 to a wild card spot while the Bears go from 5-1 to not even making the playoffs?
We saw this a couple years ago with Houston. You know, maybe the Bears want to give up a first round draft pick for Sam Darnold.
Oh, look at you throwing that out there. All right. Will Muschamp has been fired by the SEC football South Carolina Gamecocks. He's been fired before the completion of this season because his team is terrible at 2-5. So on Sunday, he was fired with 4 years left on his contract, which means there's a buyout of $13.2 million. That's what you have there. Remember, he was fired by Florida back in 2014 with 3 years remaining on that deal.
Man.
This is crazy. So right now...
Who stole more money? Him or Charlie Weiss?
I'm getting to it. So offensive coordinator, but with the name of Mike Bobo. Yes, Bobo. will serve as the interim coach for the rest of the season. Blitzer Prevent. I just wanted to tell you that a college is going to pay someone $13 million to not... coach their team. I just wanted to put that out there, Bart. You don't even have to say anything. You could even say Prevent because you're disgusted. But a college is paying someone $13 million to not work.
Gotta love those guaranteed contracts and the fact that they won't let these kids transfer when they decided this is not the place for them and these coaches ain't who they portray to be when they were sitting on their parents' couch talking about how great you were. But then we hold these kids more accountable than we hold these coaches. It's laughable. It's a shame. Downright disgusting.
All right, let's get to it.
Charlie Weiss still getting paid by Kansas and Notre Dame.
What a life. It's really something. All right, let's get to this. So I got into it last night. So the day before, Adidas, who's making the uniforms now for the NHL, they came out with a third jersey campaign where they were calling it reverse retro. And it's just they're taking some old logos and old looks and putting a new spin on them. So you'll see teams like Carolina Hurricanes, who started out in Hartford as the Hartford Whalers, well, they're going to take the Whalers logo. The Colorado Avalanche, who started out in Quebec as the Quebec Nordique, they will take that logo, which is pretty sweet. Like, some of these logos are pretty cool. Some of them are just going back in time.
It's like the Titans that we used to wear, right, with the Jets. Throwbacks.
Okay, yeah, throwback. Exactly. So some are doing that, and some are just kind of just putting a new spin on the current look. The Islanders went with, and I showed you, the Islanders went with their typical logo with a look that is more about their dynasty era earlier part with the white sleeves. It's a classic look. A lot of fans say it's boring and they're mad.
And I'm dope.
And a lot of young fans wanted them to go to the Fisherman logo, which was in the mid-90s. And
really?
I look at it as probably the most embarrassing time in franchise history. Fans hated the logo. The players who wore it hated the logo. And it reminds you of a time where they almost moved twice, where they went through owner after owner, where they were bad. Players who were traded to them refused to play for them, Kirk Muller. It was so bad that Darius Kasparaitis was once quoted in a really good book called Fish Sticks, written by myself and Peter Boddy, that when he was told, okay, the team is getting rid of this logo, you're going back to the old logo, he said, quote, good, we look like idiots. I sent you a picture of Darius Kasparaitis and Travis Green wearing those jerseys.
Had a flashback.
I feel like that would have been a dumb thing to do. Thank God Lou Lamoriello agrees with me. Young fans calling me boomer and other things because I don't like the logo. You see it. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm a fashionable guy. You know, I'm all about the fashion. That looked like hot throw up. I mean, first of all, it looked like a bootleg dude from Assassin's Creed, like with a hockey stick in his hand. And I had a flashback into an era which the team that I root for, you know, had the worst uniforms in the league.
Who's that?
They were a joke. And it was a new breed Pistons with Allen Houston and Lindsey Hunter and Joe Dumars.
Oh, with
as
the horse?
Captain. Yes, and the horse. And it was teal. It was teal.
Exhaust pipes?
Yeah, exhaust pipes coming out of a horse.
So
and
like
it was
that.
Teal. For years, the colors of the Pistons have been red, blue, and white. Classic. And they went with that hot garbage, and they played like hot garbage. Grant Hill, Jerry Stackhouse, Allen Houston.
So what if the
Lindsey
Pistons
Hunter.
Ever brought back? Blah! What if the Pistons ever brought that back as like a third jersey?
I go smack the hell out of Joe Dumars and George Blaha. I tell George Blaha, you better not announce a point score for nobody on that squad.
I just feel like that, like when you go back to a jersey that reminds you of the worst of times, it's bad karma.
What I got teal in there? What I got teal in there, too?
Teal was a thing in the 90s, man. Everybody was doing teal.
But it made no sense. You got orange, blue.
It's like Coke in the 80s. Everybody was doing it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Crazy.
You're going to learn today.
So let me ask you, I also sent you what the Rangers did was they went back to a different logo, which was the Liberty logo, which
is
a big part of the 90s. What did you think? What do you think of the Liberty logo?
It's okay, but it's too plain. I think at the top, they should have took a white pipe in and kind of broke it up. You know what I mean?
Okay.
To kind of bring the white back in.
Gotcha.
They're kind of trying to look like the Giants a little bit, you know, because the Giants have those classic uniforms like that as well. And I know sometimes, you know, teams that are local kind of have the same color schemes, and it's okay. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's not horrible, but I wish they would spice it up with a little splash of white, and then they should have made those dots on the top perforated, like little white dots.
That's a lot of
pinstripes.
Detail.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
but
a lot
you know,
of detail,
well, you know, I'm a detail type of dude, man. You see me dress. You got to coordinate.
That is true.
You got to coordinate. You know where he was from? You know where Pops was from? Bang Bang was from? He's from the D, baby.
Yes.
That's he learned that. He wasn't acting. That was some real stuff.
You got to coordinate.
That was his real outfit that he wore to the set. They was like, hey, man, you got the costume on. He's like, nah, man, what you talking about?
What
this is what mean? I wore.
All right, we're going to leave you. Yeah, you're wearing that in the movie then, definitely.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.